live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
741, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It's not often that you get a new L stop. Let's bring in the man that runs our city. It's Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Mr. Mayor, congratulations on this deal for the West Side.
Yeah, well, it's, that's one of many totally new L stops. Yeah, this one is going to be at Lake and Damon. It's going to provide all those people on the West Side a modern L stop, and it's going to, I think, also pull all that those jobs and economic activity that's happening around Fulton Market, all that farther west, and really create a dynamic scene, both for residents and for retail development.
Can you, as the mayor, ride the L on a regular basis?
I do, twice a week.
Twice a week? And do people come up to you because you see the mayor, you want to complain right away. You want to tell you.
No, that's actually, it's funny. That's not, first of all, almost 80% is a nod. They don't really see you, and then they kind of look. There's a double take, and then there's a nod. But I've had great conversations for people telling me about what they like about, you know, what's going on in the city, what book they're reading. I usually, if somebody's reading a book, I'll say, do you like it? And we'll talk about books. But, you know, people tell you things that are going on in their life, positive, daycare. You know, I've run into parents who are dropping kids off at daycare and taking the L, you know, and we talk about their daycare. It's not that often. You know, they do. There are people that will tell you, I like X or Y, but there's also people that will tell you what they like, not just complaining.
Right. Okay.
They usually reserve that for WGN radio.
Oh no! Hey, no.
But I take it twice a week, and I will tell you a funny story. So I read the paper in the morning. You know, I read four of them, and it's a bad habit from the White House days. And this is like 4 years ago, and I, you know, take the Brown Line in from Montrose downtown, 30 minutes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
One day I look up, and I realize I'm the only one reading the newspaper. Everybody's on, you know, their iPhone, their iPad, whatever.
Sure.
And I'm like, wow, there's Grandpa right here, you know?
It's like a modern-day Norman Rockwell painting.
Right, and I do all my book reading on my iPad, and I do what I'm other traveling. Checking the paper. So I just switched. I said, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not playing. I'm the only guy with the newspaper.
I'm like you.
Nobody,
I like the hard copy.
On the, periodically, you find an article you missed. So, but I take it twice a week. A mantra. So,
well,
my little venture card.
Mr. Mayor, I want to talk to you about the president's comments this week. He said, and I quote, it's worse in Chicago than in some places in the Middle East where there are wars going on. Now, with President Trump, I always feel like there's a motive or an agenda, and I'm trying to figure out why we here in Chicago are his target. Is it because President Obama calls Chicago his home? Is it because you work for President Clinton and President Obama? What is it?
You're asking me to try to figure out what's going on in this president's head. I can't do that for you. Look, I think there's two things I would say. It's kind of, one is at a level, it's sad that a president is ill-informed and continues to repeat certain things. So, look, we have a challenge, and we have to deal with it. I mean, 50% of our challenge is in the Englewood area and the Austin-Garfield, and we have to use all our resources of the city to put not only more police, but get them to be proactive, doing what they need to do, unlike last year, where I would say our officers were more reactive. And we need to support them. We need to support our police doing their job in a professional, proactive way. We also need to give every child a mentor in those neighborhoods. Now, last year, which was not a good year, 37 of the 77 neighborhoods experienced actually a decline in shootings and homicides. And this just now is only January, but there's also even greater progress. Now, a lot of that has to do with the good work our men and women are doing, our neighbors are doing with our police, partnering in that effort. But his explanation of Chicago, you know, look, the vice president's home state, Indianapolis, had the worst homicide on record for Indianapolis.
Right.
And there's a real challenge, you know, San Diego, wonderful city, up 80%. Austin, Texas, up 70%. And, you know, and I always, you know, we're kind of stuck. And, you know, a lot of mayors talk about this, and it's happening. You know, Louisville's up 40%. Baltimore's up. And what happened is, you know, for too long, we had a Justice Department was in denial about what I would call a Ferguson effect. They didn't want to hear about it, and they didn't want to address it. And for too long, they were coming, you know, and I said this to the Attorney General, you're attacking the police. You got to find a place to work with them and praise them. They're part of the solution, not the problem. We want high professional standards so our officers can be proactive and involved in the neighborhoods and communities. We also want to invest in our kids. We want to create economic opportunity, and we want to create certainty around penalties for gun crimes.
Right.
That's what our strategy is. But there's something, but to have go from one extreme, which was a denial that something happened over the last 2 years, which is what was happening at the Justice Department, and they were going, in my view, targeting incorrectly, as I said to the Attorney General, you need to make police a partner in finding a solution here, to then an ill-informed decision that all you have to do is get tough, as if any police chief today would ever tell you that the solution to fighting crime is just get tough.
Right.
It's a more complicated problem, and you want police to be partners with the community, not a problem in the community.
Mayor, I think many Chicagoans, myself included, tired of hearing the criticism. Bring in the feds. I mean, I want to know if you think that's a good idea, but especially when, on the campaign trail when he said falsely, I believe, again, I can stop the violence in a week. Have any meetings been scheduled? Has anybody from the administration reached out to say, let's go in these neighborhoods?
No, so here's the thing. Well, of course, I also think, I've got to be honest, when you guys do this in your mind's eye, you think the Fed is the law enforcement side. The federal government's bigger than that. So it's just also it's very ill-informed and limited. Do we want greater participation in coordination with the FBI, the drug enforcement agencies, the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm? Of course, we'd love more resources, and they know that up front. We also like to see greater prosecutions at the federal level, because it would send a message to the game makers, you are going to pay a big price for the crimes you're committing. But I want federal help. Look, we've dramatically expanded our summer jobs for our kids from 14,000 to 31,000 with no federal aid. In the last 5 years, the federal government's totally walked with. Well, I want federal send in the feds. Give us resources for mentoring and summer jobs. Give these kids an alternative. I want federal resources to help take 30, 40, 50 years of blighted neighborhoods and create economic opportunity. So take what we're doing today. I'm going to lay out an infrastructure blueprint to create 44,000, 45,000 jobs building our rail system, our schools, our community colleges, our parks, our airports.
Yep.
That creates real economic opportunity.
Put your money where your mouth is, basically. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Let's work. We're doing this all without the federal, not all of it, that's not fair. They're helping us on the red-purple modernization. They're helping us at the airport. But come in here, rather than us do the lakes, we're doing the Lake and Damon Green Line down on 55th in Washington Park. We're doing that. Or come in here and help us redevelop through public investments in our transportation system, real economic opportunities. So when somebody says, I want to send to the feds, I want all the feds. Okay, yes. I want to right. The IDA.
Send everybody. Bring it.
Yeah, bring them up.
Let's do it.
I want to move in.
Let's go. You want to talk. You want to bring them? Bring them. I'm with you, man.
So my thing is, Andrea, I know what you meant by this. Everybody thinks that. No.
Right.
I want it all. I don't want
I hear you.
You know, an FBI agent and DA agent without a summer job is an FBI agent and DA agent. You're not actually stopping the next problem.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is, it's not, don't limit it. And but we're going to have this major speech. And here's the thing. I read a story over the weekend, okay, in business. Chicago's economy over the last 5 years, ever since we've made these major investments in our roads, our rails, our runways, our economy's growing at 2% a year, faster than both D.C. and New York. And D.C. has the federal government, and New York has Wall Street. And the financial sector.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that? Because we have unbelievable universities that draws intellectual talent, people with 4 years degree, graduate degree, and we're making an incredible investment in our transportation, parks, and schools. And that's created greater economic growth. Now, our job as a city, make sure everybody in the city can participate and get a chance at it. We want to make sure you can go to college. That's why our graduation rates are increasing at high school. If you're not going there, we want to make sure, you know, the only city, you get a B average in high school, community college is free. You don't want to do that. You want to become a carpenter, an electrician, a painter, a bricklayer. We want that open to you, which is why but Dunbar is now our new trade school. And so we want to make sure everybody has a post-high school education plan. That means they're going to be better prepared for tomorrow to compete and win. And if we do that and everybody's prepared, it will be.
Well, I feel like when the president brings these things up, it's a diversion tactic to bring up Chicago whenever he needs to dismiss and redirect,
right?
Basically.
Well, here's my thing. Take a look at Indianapolis with the vice president's son. One of the highest homicide rate in the history of Indianapolis is there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure the vice president would like to work on trying to help figure that out. I'm not saying we have a challenge, and we know it. But to fix the problem, you have to be informed and not ill-informed. Somebody told the president once, let us just get tough. That's not the answer to this. We have to have proactive policing, but that's not the answer. What about the kids that need a mentor or a father figure, an adult in their life?
Right.
What about making sure there's certainty about gun crimes? There's going to be penalties around them. What about investing in neighborhoods where you can create local economic opportunity that's the best antidote to crime? So my thing is, it's helpful to have a president as a partner. I know the difference between not and having that partner. We're ready, but let's be actually informed about what the problem is, and therefore we can be informed about what the solution is, and not just kind of repeat stuff that's not only not true, but actually it's not helpful if people basically across the country say, this president, they just shrug it as if it's not serious. That's not a good thing for us as a country.
Yeah.
If people don't take what the president's saying seriously. And that's, you're allowed to have your own opinion, obviously. You just can't have your own facts.
You should know. You work for two presidents. Mr. Mayor, thank you for taking time. I know you're busy this morning. Appreciate the call.
I do want you guys on this. We're creating a blueprint for 40,000 jobs in just the next 3 years. And these are good-paying jobs for middle-class families. And it's this is the five-year anniversary when I first gave this speech. We created over those 5 years 60,000 construction jobs. This is going to do in 3 years 40,000+ jobs. And that's all good and pay dividends today and generations to come.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Thank you, Mr.
Thanks, Mayor.
All right, guys. See ya.
Take care.